Steelers Better League podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody on this Victory Monday. How are you today, Cody?
Victory Monday, baby. Feels like it's been a while. Not gonna lie. Didn't see this one coming. Didn't expect it. Yeah. Talked a lot of trash against us the whole time. The whole game. James was a little frustrated.
But now I don't have to call you out for it because you already threw it out there.
I threw it out. But that's my point, is like, I'm going to keep talking trash on us until we prove me wrong. And luckily,
like, I honestly thought, I thought for sure you were about to start Ravens by the Lake this week.
Listen,
I thought for sure.
They missed the two point conversion at the end. And I told James, I was like, I wish they would have got that, because that's the type of ballsy move that Pittsburgh never does. And it ticks me off. When, if you want to win a ball game, go try to win a ball game. Don't play patty cake with the freaking enemy. Sorry, that's just how I feel. But I am, I'm good, James. I'm good. How are you?
Man, I'm fantastic. Just finished up work day number one this week. I only have 2 work days because I got some vacay time.
That'll be me next week.
Yeah. Dude, I didn't even plan it this way, but now I don't have to worry about how late I'm up for the Steelers game on Thursday. I love it.
Yeah, I know. And I'm worried about it. The only good news is I should, at least at this point, still have help on my route on Friday, unless things happen. Yeah. But it's okay. Tomorrow's going to be probably my long day of the week by far. My truck is loaded.
That happens.
It's loaded. But anyways.
You know what else? You know what else is loaded?
What is loaded?
Our download numbers from last month, buddy.
Listen, they are. We're going to go over this. Monthly recap for November.
Tell us all about it.
We're obviously going to start off. We always start off with the world. Maybe we don't. I don't know. I'm starting off with the world today.
Yeah.
Top downloads, United States. No surprise there. Canada.
USA.
Yeah, there you go. Canada coming in second. They've been consistent. And a close third place. We're only going to do top three. Close third place, Mexico. It was very close between those two, but we take it. Steelers fans all over the world. We lost our downloads in Germany, but we'll get them back. They're probably on vacation in the United States right now. So, Or they were, we know for sure one, we got one over there because he messaged us or commented.
Yeah, Timo. Our buddy Timo.
So, excited about that. Now, top states. I know you guys have been excited for this. I'm nervous now. There's actually a 3-way tie for fifth place. But first place.
You got to tell them all then.
I will. First place, Pennsylvania. Right. No surprise there.
What?
Yeah. Tennessee, second place. Tennessee.
You haven't seen any downloads in Tennessee in 6 months, buddy.
You're the only Tennessee. You know what I'm saying? Sorry. Anyways, Ohio, number three. Ohio coming in number three. And then West Virginia coming in at number four. And then rounding up the top five with a 3-way tie between Colorado, Indiana, and Kentucky. You know what I'm saying? Those Benny Snell fans are getting back involved.
Yeah. They must have known he was going to have a good game or something.
Yeah, something like that. We'll find out. Maybe. But again, thank you guys so much. Be sure to share. We are so excited to get this stuff going on YouTube. We're getting all that rolling. We're getting, trying to make sure we're out there. We're back on Spotify again. For a while there, we were off Spotify. Things weren't working. We didn't even know that. But we fixed it for you guys. So we're back on Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, wherever you listen to. If it's not somewhere that you listen to podcasts, let us know. We'll make sure it gets there. Let us know. And then give James those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts.
Come on. We're so close. We got 24. One more is 25.
He loves those so much. But yeah, time to go into Steelers news.
Yeah, man. So before the game, as always, we protected 4 players on the practice squad. Wide receiver Anthony Miller, which is a good move. Offensive tackle Chaz Green. Defensive lineman Daniel Archibong. And then outside linebacker Jacob Tuotu Mariner, which again, we had TJ Watt in COVID protocol, so we weren't sure whether or not he was going to be back in time for the game. So you better protect some depth because you might have had to call him up if he didn't clear. We lucked out on that one.
Yeah. Spoiler alert for later news. Anyways, on Wednesday, Ray McLeod did come off the COVID list, but then Joe Haig did go on it. So kind of a trade-off there, offensive lineman for wide receiver. And then also on Thursday, Robert Spillane was also added to the COVID list. Really didn't want to see that. James and I both prefer Robert Spillane over probably at this current rate, both of our starters.
Definitely over Schobert.
Definitely over Schobert. Definitely. Schobert's had, I think, one, maybe. No, he had two good plays that I can remember in his short career so far with Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Rough.
One was in this game. It was just a tip pass. That's it. Big whoop. I mean,
he did hit somebody behind the line in this game, but he didn't bring him to the ground and TJ had to clean it up. So yep. Almost a good play.
Almost. Tell us about these padded practices, James. Inform us.
With the NFL trade agreement, the collective bargaining agreement, the Union for the Players Association has only allowed the NFL teams to hold X number of padded practices during the regular season for the entire season. It's a very low number. I don't know exactly what the number is, but it's very rare, basically, that a normal work week includes a padded practice because of that number being so low. Well, after Pittsburgh being just kind of embarrassed 2 weeks in a row, no real better way of saying it, they got bullied on the field. Mike Tomlin made him show up with full pads and in a full padded practice this week. And according to most reports, had a pretty spirited conversation with them early in the week as well, which is not his normal style. But he felt like it was necessary to kind of get the message across. And seems as though maybe this coach that has been under a lot of criticism lately made some moves to do what he could to try to get more out of the same guys. Because, you know, it's not like you can get 10 first-round picks out of nowhere all of a sudden on the team.
Nope.
We're in the middle of the year, man. Like, you got who you got. So, time to coach them up and get them playing better. And it seems like we got the right man in charge for that.
Seems like it so far. We'll wait and see what happens moving forward. I'm not going to give him all the credit in the world from one padded practice and one win by 1 point. Not happening.
But you will criticize the living hell out of him every time they lose and every time something goes wrong. Dang straight.
Listen, to a degree. I shouldn't say dang straight. To a degree. To a degree, I will. But yes, padded practice turned out really well from what we hear. And obviously the result of the game was a win, barely. Joe Hayden and Isaiah Bugs both were ruled out of this game. And at the same time, TJ Watt was cleared for the COVID protocol. So TJ Watt was coming back for this game. Also, Carlos Davis was activated from the injury reserve list prior to the game on Thursday. And offensive tackle Chaz Green was elevated from the practice squad for COVID replacement. Basically, that meaning, as James has said before, that doesn't go against the number of times that he can be called up. He doesn't affect his availability later on or take a use of one of those, which is good.
Correct. So you get two call-ups over the course of the year if you're a practice squad player. And on those two call-ups, you're brought up to the 53 and then escorted right back down to the practice squad without anyone having the capability of stealing them or going through the waiver process. So by using the COVID replacement tag on Chaz Green, it does not use up one of those two elevations. You could do that every single week if you had COVID guys and just use the same guy over and over and over. You could have 10 elevations and it wouldn't count against any of them.
Yep.
As long as you tag it as a COVID.
Yep, very true. So prior to the game, inactives. Who do we have inactive, James?
Joe Hayden, as he's still in a walking boot, so that's bad. Isaiah Bugs with this newly acquired ankle injury, which seemed to have been later on in the week, which was coincidentally after he got benched the week previous.
And coincidentally after padded practice.
can you tell how skeptical I am that there's an actual injury going on there? Dwayne Haskins, who's been a healthy scratch as long as there's been two healthy quarterbacks. Pittsburgh's only dressed two quarterbacks all season long. Carlos Davis, who's fresh off of the injured reserve. And then running back Anthony McFarland Jr., which was kind of a surprise to me. And then as the game went on, one of the guys that they chose to dress in front of him didn't really even play. So I don't know. Hopefully we kind of flip-flop that. Maybe see Ballage go on that inactive list next week.
Yeah, we kind of hope so. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But moving on to the game. Rivalry game, baby. Ratbirds were in town.
Ooh, what a slow start, though.
Very slow start. Listen, I want to take a moment and just say three important people kind of in my life were at the game, and I was very happy for them. One.
Was Noah at the game?
Noah was at the game.
I thought he was.
He was. Noah's a good friend of ours here at Steelers by the Lake, and just of James and I. I met him last year. Long story, won't explain it. Anyways, we took him to training camp this year for the first time. He got to high five Eric Ebron, was a little bit of a nerd and freaking out about it. It was hilarious. We talked about that prior or before. And then also, I got to take him to his first ever Steelers game this year, where we beat the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday night. Sunday night, which was a very good game. Should went to overtime. Should have been overtime. Anyways, so he was there. Yo Boy Pizza was there, who's a big-time YouTuber, Steelers fan, who we know and love, and I've showed James a couple of his video. And another man by the name of Audio Freak, who is a video game streamer on Facebook. All three of these guys were there, and I was like, what the heck? Why didn't I go to this freaking game? I could have met some pretty cool people and just seen Noah. But it was a good time. It was a good time. Anyways, again, Ratbirds in town. As always, let's start with the quarterback.
Yeah, man. Slow start for Ben. But overall, as far as his performance in the game, it was excellent. It was excellent. That's the only way I would describe it, honestly. He hit people over and over all game long. The game really shouldn't have even been as close as it was if it wasn't for a dropped pass that would have been an easy touchdown earlier in the game.
Yep.
Would have been a much larger gap at the end and wouldn't have been as important that they score on every single drive at the end of the game.
Yep.
But Ben really did his part in it. Did a nice job of finding people over the middle of the field on some crossers that you didn't see normally. Got Pat Freiermuth and Zach Gentry both involved in the game, which we've been calling for a lot. If you want to move the sticks and convert some of these third downs, your tight ends are the answer for that because they're the guys that break tackles and get a couple extra yards after contact. And Ben used them all game long and really had great success with his combination of him and Deontay Johnson once again this week. So I overall was very impressed. I thought Ben had an excellent bounce back performance after a lesser performance the previous week. Now he's looking at 16 touchdowns and 6 picks on the year and dang near 3,000 yards. And let's talk about him all time, right? He's 334 yards, I think, away from passing Phillip Rivers in the all-time passing list.
Yeah.
Only 8 touchdowns away from catching Dan Marino in the all-time passing touchdowns, 9 away from catching Phillip Rivers, and 10 from passing them both.
Yeah.
And with 5 games left, Ben's got a real good chance of doing this. He'll definitely do the yardage one. Hopefully he can continue this 2 touchdown passes per game performance, and that'll be enough to beat these guys, man, and get into that, 5th, 6th place all time. I'd love to see it personally.
We would absolutely love to see that. You know what I like to see? Ben staying on his feet. Ben wasn't sacked very much in this game. Only 1 sack allowed.
Yeah, one.
Yeah, and we'll get to this later, but Lamar Jackson sacked 7 times.
Yeah, he was.
Lamar Jackson was getting attacked like my cat's getting attacked by my dog in the background right here. Don't worry, they're fine. if you're listening to this, I apologize. You can't see right now. It's fine. Maybe next week we'll have to bump them out of the room. That's fine. But they're having a good time back there. Anyways.
It adds to the entertainment.
It adds to the entertainment just a little bit. I don't know what they're doing back there. Dog's happy, though. Anyways. I don't know. I agree with you. Ben had a phenomenal performance. Based on the outcome and his stats, I do think that in order to make it, I'm not wiping off the season yet. I'm really close. I've gotten really, really close a couple of times. I couldn't agree more with even Tony Romo as I watched the game. So many times he said this is as close as it gets to a must win for Pittsburgh because you're going up against a rival, a division rival. It's the first division game against this team. And if it doesn't bode well, you're then under 500, very close. No, we would have been last in our division.
Would have been last in the division. You would have been 1-3 in the division, too.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been good.
Yeah.
So with this win,
it would have been season over.
I'm hanging on to a thread. I'm hanging on as tight as I can. But Ben,
you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. Ben needs to be better at the beginning of the games, as well as our entire team, to be fair. But I was not impressed with Ben's start to the game. Granted, he did have that you know, I don't even remember when it was in the game, actually, probably second quarter or whatever, when Deontay dropped that ball. I think it was second quarter because that's when we ended up getting only a field goal. Ben played well, but I think he needs to come out stronger, and enough of the stupid end-around plays, man. I can't anymore with them. I can't any... For a while, when it was Ray running them and they were getting some yards and even Deontay Johnson running them, I was okay with it. But you cannot, and you said this in text when we were talking during the game, you can't hand that ball off to Chase Claypool. He doesn't have the speed to get to the edge and outrun those linebackers or even the defensive ends to some degree, depending on who's out there.
If it's going to be to Chase, Chase has to lower his shoulder and not try to turn the corner. He has to lower his shoulder and just plunge in there. And he could get you a couple of yards. But when he tries to turn the corner, he has to stop his entire momentum to do so. Mm-hmm. And it's like James Washington running him. He's not the quick, agile, change of direction kind of guy, which is who you want running that play. It either needs to be somebody lightning fast or somebody with good change of direction skills. So I'm okay with them running it, but it needs to be mostly to Deontay Johnson and Ray McLeod. Those are the kind of guys you want running that play. Unfortunately, it's just not going well for Chase. If you need a yard or two, okay, maybe that's not a bad idea. But if you want more than a yard or two on the result, it's just not a good idea to run it to him.
Yep. And you know what I saw later on in the game? And again, we're going a little out of order here. Bear with us today. Yeah. We're just...
Hey, we don't need a specific order.
Yeah. And you know what I like to see? Later on in the game, we were able to run a lot of play actions, even regular play actions, because the running game was working when John LeGlue was in there.
Let's talk about John LeGlue, man.
Let's do it.
Let's go straight to him. BJ Finney goes down early in the game, right? First quarter.
Yeah, back injury. We don't know to what extent.
Yeah, even post-game, Mike Tomlin press conference today, he didn't have any updates for us yet on Finney, but you kind of assume he's going to be out. If he was out of the game and never came back into the game, it must be significant.
Yeah.
But LeGlue played his butt off, man. And this is a fringe guy. He was on the practice squad all year last year, listed as an offensive tackle. This year in the preseason, we had a shortage of healthy bodies at the center position, right?
Yep.
Guys were dropping like flies. They were injured. Next thing you know, here comes John LeGlue playing center in the preseason, and not so much in the games as much as he did in practice. But he just stepped in and played wherever they asked him to.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been keeping him on the practice squad this entire time, and they needed him at guard. He played guard, and he played his butt off, man.
He absolutely did.
Thought he had a tremendous game.
He absolutely did. And with that being said, I thought that that offensive line that was in there, whenever he was in there, you had, I believe at that point it was a core four back at right tackle.
Yeah.
Dan Moore was back in at left. Dan Moore had a decent game.
Maybe his best game of the season.
I would argue that.
We got to give him credit. He had a good game.
Kendrick Green, and then obviously at the Trey Turner at the right guard position. I think that was the best offensive line we've seen so far out of Pittsburgh this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was close. The ability that we had to run the ball late in that game was huge. Absolutely huge. So again, I just think that speaks volumes to where we're going as a team, and where we can potentially be headed with that being said. So we'll just wait and see what happens. But I thought that group of guys, that front five, and even when you had either Pat Freiermuth or Zach Gentry in there blocking, I thought they all did pretty well this game in comparison to a couple of the losses we've suffered recently.
Yeah, more struggles in the first half, but when the second half came along and they really needed to get those scores, they were able to sustain a really long drive near the end of the game that dang near put the game away. Honestly, if it wasn't for the Ravens jumping off sides, they would have had the potential to put the game away and not give the Ravens the ball back.
Yep.
But it took away the opportunity to get a first down by moving them too close to the end zone, which then, took that possibility out and left a good minute 40 plus on the clock for the Ravens. But they held a long, sustained drive. It was a good 6-plus minutes, ran up a bunch of clock, and we saw some 8-yard runs, 13-yard runs, and some successful stuff there that you really had to have, just had to have it.
Yep, and Najee did well. Najee didn't – I don't think he was overworked, which was what I was worried about. And I've been worried about moving forward with this. 21 carries, that's a fairly average number. I'm nervous when he gets up there around 30 because you also have to realize he's catching the ball in this game five times. But 21 carries for 71 yards, not the greatest average at 3.4. But a lot of that was because of early on in the game, there was nowhere to go. Later in the game, he started breaking off those big runs. I'll take a 3.4 average if you're ending the game strong. 9 times out of 10, like, I'd rather see us progress and get better. Granted, I'm still annoyed that we start off slow. I've talked about that 100 times. But Najee performed well. 13 was his longest run, and then 5 receptions for 36 yards as well. I love that out of Najee, and I don't think he's overworked.
No, and when he did get tired, they brought in Benny Snell, and Benny Snell ran very successfully. He moved the pile just like Najee did, and, I thought Benny, maybe his best game of the season. Again, it's just a few snaps, but what are you doing? You're fresh legs when you're coming in as the backup running back to a guy like Najee. Najee's out there 95% of the snaps, so you're only going to get a couple. So you better make something of it when you get the opportunity. He did so. And we didn't even see Balazs, did we? I didn't see him in the game.
I thought I saw him come in once. I believe it was either a play action or just he was blocking for Ben. But with that being said about Benny Snell, here's the thing. If you bring in the backup and they can't successfully run, anytime the backup is in there, the defense can automatically play pass. They can bring in extra pressure for the pass blitz, or they can play a zone and try to force a turnover. It limits what you can do. Benny Snell coming in there and being able to pound the ball 2 times for 13 yards is phenomenal. That's
tremendous.
I will take 2 for 13, 10 out of 10 days. I don't need you to run any more than that. If as long as you come in and you're productive, that's what we need out of you. And that's what he did. And I'm phenomenally happy with him for that.
Yeah, me too. Derek Watt got a couple snaps in the game as a blocking fullback. I don't think he actually got any targets.
He did not, or
the ball handed to him. Don't really expect that to happen too often.
Nope.
But honestly, as the season goes along, I would not be surprised if they get him involved again, throw the ball to him once or twice, because it does look like the offense is starting to open back up to some guys that weren't involved much previously in the season. So nice to see him at least on the field a few times in coinciding with a win.
Yep, very true. Again, we talked about the Chase Claypool, 1 rush, 2 yards, whatever. The Ben Roethlisberger rush was probably the best of the game. 1 for -1. That is a QB kneel, my friend. But moving on, Deontay had a phenomenal game at the wide receiver position. We talked about that a little bit when you were talking about Ben and the connection that those two are having. Deontay Johnson is proving himself, minus the one big drop. You take that away, Deontay Johnson would have had 3 touchdowns in this game. Deontay Johnson is proving to be a number one wide receiver. And I think that adds a lot of pressure to Juju if he decides to come back and stay with Pittsburgh or move on or whatever. I think even without Juju, this team is still stacked at the wide receiver position.
Yeah. You at least have to feel real comfortable with Deontay. We were just talking about this, how we felt like he was on the cusp of becoming someone considered one of the better wide receivers in the league, but he needed to start having some of those big games where he gets in the end zone more than once in a game. You know, just 1 touchdown performances doesn't really move the needle much for people.
Nope.
But when you start getting 100 yards and 2 touchdowns in the same game, and it's a narrow victory, now starting to grab some people's attention, my friend.
Yep.
And now you might even start grabbing some Pro Bowl votes. So be interesting to see. I want to say he's over 900 yards receiving already. So he's well on his way to over 1,000. I want to say he was like 914 or 915.
He's 914
like
with 6 touchdowns right now.
He's
24 catches shy of 100 receptions on the year, which he could easily get.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking about this is going to be the best single season performance that we've had out of a receiver since Antonio Brown left a few years back.
Yep.
We haven't had anyone do that yet. Even Juju hasn't done that. So some real nice numbers and some real nice production coming out of him. Chase Claypool caught a real nice slant pass and made something of it, huh?
Yeah, phenomenal play. I believe that one was
40 yards.
But yeah, 40 yards, and then he had another 12-yard reception. That was it. Only two receptions on three targets. Again, the other one was a long bomb down the sideline. Just not connecting as much as we'd like to see on those ones. But again, I was happy that Ben didn't throw an interception on those passes. I'm happy that where Ben's putting the ball. I'm happy that Chase Claypool, even one play. Here's the one thing that I'll talk about. I don't mean to pass up Claypool too quickly. The play that he got was
not much to talk about there.
No,
today.
The slant was a nice play. He had some running room to end the run, whatever. James Washington on his one target all game long did a phenomenal job of turning into a defender to make sure that we didn't turn the ball over there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He did a hell of a job, full extension, diving out there with his one arm to try to bat it away, and he did. He successfully batted it away. I mean, it would have been killer if he one-handed it and caught it for a touchdown. But hey, we can't have everything, right?
No,
I'll take
everything.
The effort, because that's something that we were talking about earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a few times where balls were thrown Deontay Johnson's way, and he just kind of quit on a route. And then the ball would get picked off, and now it looks bad in Ben's numbers. And it's something that, you know, we looked at it and said, you know, I don't think Deontay could have caught it, but he might have been able to break it up, and he didn't even try to do so. And you hate that. You hate it when a receiver sells out a quarterback like that. So to see James Washington at least give that effort to make sure his quarterback doesn't take an unnecessary interception and the ball doesn't get turned over, very, very good to see.
Yeah. Zach Gentry, 2 catches for 10 yards. Pat Freiermuth, 3 catches for 26 yards. Again, you'd like to see Pat. Okay, let me clarify. Me personally, I'd like to see Pat Freiermuth more involved in the game plan during the game. But Pat Freiermuth on the 2-point conversion at the end of the game.
So clutch.
Sealed the deal for Pittsburgh, technically, if you look at it. Mm-hmm. Granted, so did the failed 2-point conversion attempt to the Ravens tight end. Not quite a good. Mark Andrews, get better. You got to mute it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what a bum.
credit most of that one to TJ Watt for applying great pressure. But again, Pat Freiermuth, 3 catches on 4 targets for 26 yards. That's still phenomenal. Wide receivers as a whole, their average yards per reception this game was 11.2. Anytime That's the great. Average yards per reception is more than a first down, that is absolutely phenomenal.
The physicality out of these tight ends in this game, Cody.
Yes.
I mean, again, you throw it to Gentry. What's he do? He lowers his shoulder. He throws a stiff arm. He gets the yards. He gets the first down.
That was and a same great with catch. Or yeah, great same run with after, Freiermuth. I should say.
They both did it in this game. We've got two tight ends that are great at just shedding tackles and know where the sticks are, and they know how to go get that first, man. And you got to have it. Yep. Got to have it to sustain drives. And to eventually score points and get touchdowns. You know, the first downs achieved by the tight ends allowed for the opportunities for the touchdowns to the wide receivers in this game.
Yep, I can't agree more. Important facts here, no interceptions and no fumbles. Not even the potential. That's just phenomenal play on our part. The only fumble, we did force one fumble on a TJ Watt sack fumble. The ball did go out of bounds. I believe either Wormley or Isaiah Loudermilk were chasing it down quite aggressively.
Yeah, one of those guys was real close.
And I wouldn't say they were close, but they tried. That ball was moving. But it was funny to see the interaction they had with their teammates on the sideline. They're like, oh, you tried, but you're too slow. I don't know. It was a good time. But yeah, moving on to the defensive side of the ball.
Just start with TJ, man?
No. I want to get there. I am wearing the TJ Watt jersey. I do love the 3.5 sacks. I want to take a pause here. I want to talk Montrevious Adams.
Let's talk about him. Good choice.
I know. The dude came in and changed the way our defense was able to operate quite single-handedly. Really probably the best nose tackle we've had all year.
I mean, let me Tyson Alualu played one game. But yeah, other than that, yes.
You know what I mean. The best one we've had.
Absolutely the best play.
Recently, he allowed us to apply pressure from the outside and the inside without giving up super crazy long runs. He even provided the help on the pass. He broke up a pass on the line of scrimmage, jumped up, knocked it down.
Pass breakup.
Learning from the best. Cam Hayward must be teaching him something, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I thought he came in and played very, very well for not being with the team very long.
Yeah, a little over a week.
Yeah, a little bit. And I'll take that. So again, I don't mean to take any credit away from TJ Watt, but I thought a lot of things were able to happen in this game with our defense, even though maybe they didn't happen because our defense played like trash most of the game, most of the game. We couldn't stop a third down and 8 or 6 or longer to save our lives.
I would say they were bad on third down, but very good on first and second.
Whatever. Listen, if you're still letting them get third downs and they're driving down and getting touchdowns on a 99.5-yard drive that your punter did a phenomenal job of putting it out of the one, the defense played poorly. But again, I will agree. First and second down, they played great. The tackles for loss, the sacks, everything added up tremendously all game long. But you need your defense. If your defense can't win third down stops, you're not going to win ball games. And if you do, it's going to be because you at least stop them and hold them to a field goal at the end. I don't know.
Thank goodness they got it figured out by the third quarter. You know, they were able to start getting some points on the field and limiting the offensive opportunities of the Ravens by forcing some punts and by getting some turnovers.
Yep.
I thought after Montrevious Adams, we absolutely have to talk about the game that Chris Wormley had. Best game of his entire professional career. This is a former third-round pick by the Baltimore Ravens, traded to the Steelers for a 5th or 6th round pick last year. Yep. It was a low back-end pick. And Mike Tomlin told him, hey, man, when a team trades you to a division opponent like this, they're telling you what they think of you. This is the conversation he had with Chris Wormley last year. He said, this is what they're telling you they think of you. And he played his heart out, 2.5 sacks. Would have had 3 if it wasn't for TJ jumping on the quarterback's back in the one play. But tremendous job.
Wormley was holding up 3, and TJ, when they showed his face, he was like, half.
Yeah.
Because he knew. But this is the thing I have to say about Wormley. And again, part of the reason why I'm holding on to hope is because of I believe that this game showed just enough to the players that are on the edge about their own performances and their own faith in the team. Chris Wormley now understands, hey, I can do this.
Yeah.
The Ravens offensive line isn't necessarily a pushover. Like, that's a decent offensive line. It's definitely not the best we've played. It's definitely not the best we'll ever play this year. We've already probably played the best. And I don't think we play them again. But besides the point, Chris Wormley now has the motivation, the understanding, the what's the word I'm looking for? Oh my gosh. The inspiration almost, the self, I don't know, anything. He realizes he can do it. Yeah. I would not be shocked if he goes out and gets another 2, 2.5, or 3 in this next game.
I would be.
I wouldn't.
I won't be surprised if he scores another sack.
You
want to
bet on it?
2.5
You want to bet on it? 2, 2.5 sacks? Two or over?
Yeah, I'm under all day.
Okay.
What do you want to bet?
I don't know yet.
we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out and post it to social media this week. If you guys have any ideas, let us know. Tweet at us, message us on Facebook, anything you got to do. Comment on the YouTube video if comments are working, if I can figure that crap out. just let us know. We're excited for that. But yeah.
I already got one going from Alex Highsmith at the beginning of the year. You called for 10 plus sacks. I said right around 7.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
I didn't.
What is he at? For who?
There's still time.
Alex
Highsmith? Oh, he's only got like 3.
Oh, he's at 3. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. That's fine. Anyways, moving on. Other defensive lineman, Henry Mondeau, was in there for 2 tackles. I didn't see anything too crazy from him. Cam Hayward, 1 sack. He had 2 also tackles for loss other than the sack, which was phenomenal. Nice to see Cam Hayward getting in the backfield again. He also had 1 QB hit registered. Other than that, I don't know. I didn't see a whole lot from anyone else on the defensive line, unless you did. I didn't personally.
Yeah, good pressure. You know, they consistently kept pressure. You were getting a good collapsing from the outside linebackers, and at that stage, it's up to the defensive linemen to step into those gaps and help maintain the gap integrity. And I thought that when you saw an outside linebacker crash in, you'd see the defensive lineman loop out. And if they didn't get the sack, they'd force Lamar really wide. And by forcing him really wide, that allows some of the quicker guys to get some cutoff angles and keep it from breaking for big plays.
Yep.
So I felt like the ability to contain Lamar Jackson was absolutely tremendous by these defensive linemen in this game. And just seeing, you know, 2.5 from Wormley, 1 from Hayward, they got him to the ground too, man. And that's tough to do. Lamar Jackson is an insanely athletic quarterback, maybe the most athletic quarterback in the entire NFL right now. And to be able to get him to the ground 7 times,
it's big.
You got to say just a tremendous team effort by the defensive line and the linebackers in this game.
Absolutely. Speaking of those linebackers.
Yeah.
TJ Watt.
Derek Tuzka.
Stop.
Hey, he had a couple tackles this game.
He did. Tuzka had 2 total tackles. Involved. He did. That's a plus. That's
Derek
a positive.
Got involved. That a boy.
TJ Watt, 3.5 sacks. We've been over that. Phenomenal game from TJ.
Forced fumble.
Went out of bounds. Sadly, we didn't get a turnover because of it.
Yeah.
3 tackles for loss. He was all over the place.
Listen, man, TJ is on an absolute tear right now. 16 sacks on the season right now. He's leading the entire NFL.
And he missed 3 games.
What's that?
And he's missed 3 games.
2 full and 3 quarters of another.
3 games.
So it'll go down as being too short of what Myles Garrett is. So with Myles Garrett having played 12 games and having 14 sacks, but TJ only playing 10 games and having 16 sacks, he's averaging 1.6 sacks per game. Myles Garrett only 1.16, and he's the next best in the entire NFL. TJ Watt is by far leading candidate right now for Defensive Player of the Year, other than Diggs with his interceptions, but what, he's still stuck at 8, isn't he? I don't think he's gotten in. He hasn't had much for interceptions the last 5 or 6 weeks. People aren't throwing them at him anymore, which is smart.
Yeah.
But you still have to drop back to throw the ball, which means TJ can come get you.
I think he's at 9 now.
Is he 9 now?
I think
he's
9.
One this week?
I believe so.
But TJ really putting together an amazing year with 16 tackles and 16 sacks and 4 forced fumbles on the season already. So just leading every category when it comes to rushing the passer. And when you're talking about production per game played, it's just an absolute blowout in comparison to the other players in the league right now.
Oh, yeah. It's not even close.
Nice pressure from Taco Charlton in the game, I thought. And Alex Highsmith, very stout against the run. Got some nice pressure throughout the game. Just couldn't beat all the other guys to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Which is going to happen. You know, and it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment for Alex to playing against somebody that incredibly athletic. I mean, he played at, what was it, Buffalo?
Yeah.
He didn't have to go against guys like this in college. So
no, not at all.
This is an adjustment for him trying to get guys like this to the ground. And I think he'll do more in future games with that. But right now, it's a tall task for Alex. But, you know, good supplemental pressure and fantastic against the run. He blew up the run a number of times in this game.
Yeah. Moving on to the secondary. Let me clarify. We want to talk middle linebackers. Yeah, I don't want to talk about
it. Listen, I'm going to talk about him because I think it was a much better game from Devin Bush. And the fact that you didn't see him getting beat over and over a couple of times, he did a great job of taking nice angles and forcing plays to the sideline. You don't necessarily have to make the tackle to make a nice play.
True.
And he did so multiple times in this game and had an absolutely tremendous hit at the end of the first half that gained a little bit of momentum for the Steelers as far as defensively, a little bit of, hey, we can do this. He just absolutely laid out a running back on a dive play. And it was one of those plays where it was just, hey, this is going to be the last play of the first half and everybody knows it. But he didn't take the play off. Yeah, he came in there like a human missile and he crushed them as hard as he could. And you need that. You need some tone setters. Maybe this will help Devin get back in the right direction on things, which is really important because honestly, Joe Schobert had the worst game of his entire Steelers career.
It was
and it's
bad.
Not close.
It was bad.
We've been very critical of Joe Schobert in some games, but this was just ugly. He looked like he got drastically slower in a matter of a week. Couldn't keep up with anybody he was tasked with covering. Running backs were running right by him and juking him up easily. Just an awful performance. I think if we were to find a grade somewhere where someone was rating how many times you missed tackles at a game, Joe Schobert probably had six or more missed tackles in this game.
Easily.
Which from your middle linebacker is just criminal.
Yeah. So with Robert Spillane being recently off the COVID list, I would hope and expect Pittsburgh to make an adjustment. Here's the thing. We've seen bits and pieces. We've been very critical of him because of what we gave up for him, and we thought it was a horrible trade. That is why we've been critical. Now I'm being critical because of how poorly he played. He did not play like a starting middle linebacker in college, let alone a starting middle linebacker in the NFL. So with Robert
Spillane, if you would have seen a game like that from him and footage in college, you'd never even touch him.
No. So
like you wouldn't want him on your team.
With that being said, I highly expect Spillane to get the start or at least get a large portion of snaps in this upcoming game because you can't have Joe Schobert. Listen, Terrell Edmonds, congratulations. You're no longer the weakest link on the defense because it is massively Joe Schobert. So yeah, that's just how I feel personally about it. You can let me know if I'm wrong.
It's tough to argue with that.
It's tough to argue. Secondary.
Real quick.
Who do you want to talk about?
Before we move off, Buddy Johnson.
Okay.
All on special teams, but Buddy looked the part, and he had a couple tackles on special teams in this game. So as nice as his first opportunity this season, he's been inactive. I think the entire season. I think this was his first game as an active player.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He did a good job, I thought. So this is a good stepping stone for him, maybe for some progression down the line. Happy to see it.
Very happy to see it. Hopefully we see more of it. I'd rather see Buddy Johnson than Joe Schobert at this point, if I'm being honest. But with that being said, moving on to the secondary, I thought Justin Lane, as you would say, quietly had a good game. I didn't see him getting completely, unless you disagree, you have a face that I think you disagree with me.
I feel like Justin didn't play a ton in the game.
That's fair.
Yeah, now, but Akilo Witherspoon, on the other hand, started and had a tremendous game, I thought. Honestly, we've, again, been very critical of Akilo Witherspoon. You know, he hasn't even been able to get a jersey on game day, let alone when he did, we saw him get toasted one play, and then they just kind of put him right back to the inactive list. For weeks, but with Joe Hayden out and James Pierre not playing well the week previous, Witherspoon got the call up and he looked every bit the part. I saw a lot of really hard hits and solid tackles. And then that near interception late in the game where he jumped over top of the tight end and high pointed the ball. And holy cow, man, we really saw some stuff from Akilah Witherspoon in this game.
Yeah, we did. And I guess the Justin Lane comment is more just looking back at when he was in, he wasn't a liability. And the one blow up of the screen pass was phenomenal. Play on a receiver in the open field. Easily could have been juked up or committed to the wrong direction. He just said, I'm going to go tackle this guy, not even wait for him to juke. Great play on his part. Other than that, I thought Trey Norwood had a good game. Almost got a sack.
Beat at the very end.
Huh?
Until he got beat and gave up the touchdown that almost cost us the game.
That's true.
But otherwise, yeah, he was good.
The secondary didn't look horrible to me. You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick got an interception. That was
we called for it last week. We said, let's see two in a row, and he did it.
We did. It's great to see that happening. I'd like to see Terrell Edmonds make an interception. He had an opportunity this game, missed it, when Joe Schobert tipped Joe Schobert's one good play of the game. Terrell Edmonds missed an opportunity there. I just don't think Terrell Edmonds is athletic. Like, I think he's, you know what I mean? Like, I know what you mean. There's specific people who are just athletic. Like, they can just do things. Troy Polamalu was athletic. Terrell Edmonds, to me, is just, he plays the part. He's strong. He's built. He's fairly quick. Not really. But he's not slow by any means.
And he timed fast, but there's a big difference between timed speed and playing speed.
Yes.
There are guys that can't run a 40-yard dash to save their life, but if it were the same as what they play on the field, it'd be a 4.340.
Yep.
Yeah. Like Antonio Brown, for whatever reason, couldn't time faster than a 4.55 on his 40-yard dash. He was not a 4.55 player.
No.
That was a low 4.4 guy. You know, he was fast. He was a track guy, but for whatever reason, couldn't run good on a 40-yard dash.
Yep.
You know, there's some guys are just like that. And I think Terrell Edmonds is just one of those guys that's a workout warrior, mm-hmm. in great shape. You put him on a bench and he'll give you a bunch of reps. You tell him to jump real high, he'll jump higher than you thought he was gonna. You put the ball there and he won't jump anywhere near as high.
I just want to say, James, that what you're talking about is exactly the way that I view Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins cannot perform in practice. I want to see him perform in a game.
But from what I've seen of him, he can't perform in a game either, buddy.
I want to see him play in a regular season game with our full roster. Listen, I'm just saying.
I don't want to see it because something's gone horribly wrong if he's out there, that's, buddy.
That's fairly true. Unless we lock up playoffs. But I don't want to see playoffs. Ben sit. I don't want to see Ben sit. I don't see us locking up playoffs, but until week 18.
Yeah, you know who we got week 18.
I know. I don't want to talk about again. But anyways, moving on from that, special teams, Ray.
Boswell's worst game of the year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm calling it.
Hands down.
Missed extra point, and then with the game on the line, he kicks the kickoff out of bounds, giving them the ball at the 40-yard line. Unfortunately, could have been sealed without those things happening much easier, much earlier in the game.
Yep.
But you know what? Boz has won so many games for us over the years. I'm not exactly going to be pissed at him for it.
Boz,
everybody has a bad
president.
Game once in a while. We're blessed that he got his bad game out of the way on a win.
Yes. Very true.
You know what I mean?
Very
it
true.
Wasn't a game winning field goal that he missed or anything. We still won the game despite him having, I would say, his worst game of the season.
And I would expect
him to be excellent. Yeah, I expect him to be excellent the rest of the year because that's who he is. So bad game, but I still love him. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Harvin's best punt of the year, maybe?
If not tied for the best punt, he had another one that went down to the one as well and just stuck there.
Incredible.
But the fact that it rolled the way it did out of bounds was just absolutely phenomenal. Too bad our defense couldn't do anything to stop him on that drive.
Ugh, yeah. Is when they got like 7 yards on the first play, I was like, oh, God.
Yep, it was rough. But that's going to – I don't have anything to say about – Ray Ray on returns.
Yeah, Ray Ray was average.
Yeah.
He was fine.
Moving on, we're going to go ahead and look ahead to next week now. We're going to look at the depth chart for the Minnesota Vikings, who we have Thursday night, I might add. So Thursday night, expect James and I to record a podcast. Maybe, I don't even know if I'm being honest, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, just kind of depends. We're going to have to talk about it.
I'm going to try and squeeze a Friday one out of them. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to work on them all week and try and squeeze a Friday episode.
Remember that somebody has to work on Friday and it's not you.
Yeah. No, Friday evening.
I understand that.
After work.
I understand that. We'll discuss it. Maybe we'll do a
Tell
Friday
Nick
thing.
To take care of Charlotte. You come over afterwards. I'll start pouring some Long Islands. We'll record a show.
Yeah, we can't record at your place. Because I need all this stuff. Anyways, you can come here and we'll do some Long Islands and whatnot. I don't know if your wife would let you do that, but we'll figure it out.
We'll be fine.
We'll figure it out. Quarterback Kirk Cousins. Thank the Lord we're going against Kirk Cousins. Except for the fact that he's probably going to destroy us because that's just our luck this year.
I was going to say, isn't he having a tremendous season?
he's hit or miss. He's only thrown 3 interceptions, which is bad, but he's 25 touchdowns. His rating is 106.3. He's played fairly well. I will say this. I actually think that all the losses that they've faced as a team has not been because of Kurt, other than like maybe a missed pass here or there, but he's not turning the ball over clearly with only 3 interceptions.
And 25 touchdowns on the year. That's tremendous completions or touchdown to interception ratio. Absolutely tremendous. So he's having a fantastic season.
Yep. Wide receiver. Actually, let's go running back. Dalvin Cook. However, Dalvin Cook did not participate in practice.
Good.
Yeah, he is injured. He didn't play a whole lot in the last game. I'm not sure if we're going to see him back or not. If he's not back, expect to see Alexander Mattison. Fullback, CJ Ham. He's a fullback. Not a scary one. I mean, he's nope. big, but he's not a scary one. Wide receivers.
Talk about scary. Let's talk these wide receivers, though.
Heck yeah. Justin Jefferson.
Very scary. Adam Thielen.
Thielen's hurt.
Is he?
Yep. I don't know if he didn't practice today, but I don't know if he's going to stay out or not. I think it's an ankle injury. But he didn't play much in the last game either. Him and Dalvin Cook both.
Okay.
Very important. Key injuries to watch out for.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Especially with Pittsburgh secondary still having some injuries going on there. So that could be really, really advantageous for Pittsburgh. Tight end Chris Herndon and Tyler Conklin.
Yep.
Conklin. You got the offensive line in front of you?
Yeah, Christian Darrisaw at left tackle, left guard Ezra Cleveland. You've heard us talk about him pre-draft things, as well as Garrett Bradbury at center. Right guard, Olsemeka Udo. I probably butchered that name, but that's fine. Right guard is there. And then right tackle, Brian O'Neill. Two polar opposite names, but that's fine. That's the starting offensive line. Again, Ezra Cleveland's probably the most notable one on my radar, personally, as well as Garrett Bradbury. I think that's where their strength is in the offensive line. Moving on to the defensive side of the ball, I'm nervous. If I'm nervous about anything with these guys, it's their linebacker core, but I also think their linebacker core is fairly beat up right now, as well as Harrison Smith. You have to be scared of Harrison Smith at all times. Eric Kendricks, Anthony Barr, and Ryan Conley were all limited practice with injuries today. Barr with a knee and a hamstring injury, Ryan Conley with a quadricep injury, and Eric Kendricks with a bicep injury. So those are all very, very, very important injuries to keep an eye on. If it's just hypothetically, if all those guys are out, that bodes very, very well for our running abilities, because all those guys are very capable run stuffers.
And throwing it to the tight ends as well, as those are going to be your primary matchup guys against the tight ends.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, excited if that's going to give us an opportunity. Hopefully that will. Defensive linemen, we got DJ Wonnum, Tashawn Bower, Everson Griffin. So there's some names there that definitely could be issues going on. Davlin Tomlinson and Sheldon Richardson on the inside. Some stout bodies, so you might have to run a little more off tackle.
yeah, very much so. Michael Pierce also in there at nose tackle. Not sure what to expect from him, as he's been kind of hit or miss this year so far. Cornerbacks, they don't have, on their official depth chart, they do not have a starting left cornerback, so that is fun. but the right side cornerback,
what the heck is going on here?
Bashaud Breeland is your starter there, and then they have Cameron Datsler and Chris Boyd in the backups at left and right. Very curious to see what goes on there. And then again, the safeties probably, if the middle linebackers are injured, the two starters, Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr, those starting safeties are the biggest scary thing on their defense, Harrison Smith and Xavier Woods. Harrison Smith is a hammer guy. He will hit you, and he will hit you hard, and he will not feel bad about it.
Yeah, he's a decent cover guy, too.
Very decent cover
guy.
Always
getting his hands on the ball.
Yeah. And then, obviously, their punter, Jordan Berry.
We know that guy.
We know him pretty well.
Expect him to have a good game, because he's going to be looking for vengeance.
Yeah, he is. Kicker, Greg Joseph. Long snapper, Andrew DePolia. Kick return is interesting. Emer Smith Marset is a guy we talked about pre-draft as well. He is a rookie out of Iowa, age 22, was a potential draft target for us, potentially. I don't think either of us drafted him in any of our drafts, but we talked about him a lot. And then punt and return, Dede Westbrook. So that's going to finish everything up there.
Yeah, we did talk about Chaz Surratt a few times, though. He is the backup linebacker there. So be interesting to see if he plays much, if so, to see his performance, as he was someone we kind of had an eye on pre-draft.
Yep.
You want to give your keys to success against the Vikings here, Cody, and I'll go second this week?
Absolutely. My keys to success are going to be mostly based off the injuries to Adam Thielen and Dalvin Cook staying the way they are, as in they will not be playing in the game. Don't underestimate backups at any position. I guess it's defense. You could look at it defensively too. I don't want to see a backup wide receiver or a backup running back torch us just because you don't have enough film on them, or you don't watch enough, or you don't plan enough. That has happened to Pittsburgh in the past, where we didn't prepare enough for the person that was going to be in, and we got torched for it. I don't want to see that happen with Pittsburgh. Sometimes different running backs have different running styles. Offenses are very, it's easier for an offense to play call for the design of a specific player's play call than it is for the defense to counter it. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with that. Second thing, Kirk Cousins needs to turn the ball over. I don't care if it's a forced fumble or an interception. We need to force Kirk Cousins to make mistakes, because Kirk Cousins, again, you're right, has been playing really good. I'm thankful we're playing him, because I just know that he misses some open receivers sometimes. Maybe not quite as bad as Baker Mayfield, but we're not going to go there, even though I kind of did. And then my third key takeaway is going to be get the running game going on offense. You saw what happened when we didn't have it in the first half. The time of possession was insanely different during the Ravens game this past week. I want to see us have better control of the ball, better control of the play clock, the time, the game clock, all of it. I want to see better control, and that starts with pounding the rock, Pittsburgh Steelers style. But I don't want to see us just run the ball as well. So kind of a two in one there. What about you, James? What are your three keys to success against the Minnesota Vikings?
One, man. Number one, we got to get pressure on Kirk Cousins. A guy with that kind of touchdown to interception ratio, you don't pressure him, he'll pick you apart. So got to have another big game from TJ, from Cam Hayward, from your boy Chris Wormley, who you're saying is going to have two sacks plus this week, and Alex Highsmith, who I think you've got as having seven this week to stay on pace for your goal.
I'm going
to
hit you.
but realistically, collectively, they're on a good pace now with seven sacks this last week. That puts them up to 30 on the season. They're right back to where they want to be, where you only need four per game to end up with 50 at the end of the year. That puts you in a good position where you could possibly end up with that sack title again at the end of the year. I want to see it. We got it 4 years in a row. After a good game like that, we got a chance of getting back in there, and it goes hand in hand with wins. So that's why I'm saying it. Number two, stop Dalvin Cook. This is the most dynamic running back that we have seen since Austin Eckler, I would say. And we saw what Austin Eckler did. So it's extremely important that these middle linebackers get hands on Dalvin Cook when he comes out for passes. Don't let him get into the flat and get on his releases without anyone coming in contact with him. Extremely important. Number three, offensive line success, period. Ours, not theirs. I want to see another good performance in pass blocking like they had this last week, so that it's not just a little bit of happenstance, a little bit of good luck. You know, it's something that's actually happening.
Yeah.
I want to see this turn the corner, get some good run success, and establish a good running game. I'd like to see a good running average, over 4 yards a carry for once. I'd love to see that. But more importantly, keep Ben clean, because if you keep him clean, he's going to put up enough points for you to win.
Fair enough. That's going to do it for today's episode. Real quick, if you're watching and you made it this far, make sure to share the podcast, whether you share it with a friend, share it with a relative, share it on a Facebook group page, or just share it in a private message with someone else you know who's a Steelers fan. As James is showing off a little action figure of Louis Lips, he has something to say about it before I continue.
I got two things before we wrap up the show. Number one, shout out to our friend of the podcast, Chris, my next door neighbor growing up, owner of the brewery at Union Station. Chris Sirianni sent me this model figure of Louis Lips from back in the day.
There you
best
go.
Player on the offense when the Steelers grew up. Also, shout out to my father-in-law. He wanted to shout on the pod.
Fair
Love
enough.
You, Pops.
Fair enough. And then with all that being said, tell us your key three takeaways, or your three keys to success against the Minnesota Vikings. Let us know. Again, tweet us on Twitter, hashtag three keys, tweet us or message us privately, you know, add a Instagram story, add us on there at Steelers by the Lake. Just let us know any way you want, and we'll make sure to give you a shout out on the pod and on social media. So again, thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Hey, Smitty.